Thank you so much, Rosemary, Pastor Ansu, praise team, just for leading us to worship and just setting the tone for us to really hear from God this morning. We are going to jump right in. I want to ask you guys, if you have a Bible with you, take it, turn it to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going way back to the beginning, right, to kind of find out this thing about Mother's Day and about how God wants us to lead our children. So let's just take a minute. Let's pray and let's ask God to speak to our hearts and just settle us down. We've had a great day so far of worship and a great day of recognizing our moms and just dedicating the next generation that they would hopefully come to the Lord Jesus Christ and that moms and dads would just lay that foundation for them. So let's just pray. Father God, as we open up your word today, we just ask, Father, that you would work in our hearts. I pray, dear God, that you would give us ears that hear. And I ask, Lord, that you would take away the distractions, Lord. Help us to just expediently and effectively, Lord, just give your word in a way, Lord, that would really change our lives and change our thinking. Father, we just thank you for the great things that you're going to do, Lord, in and through us. And we ask, dear God, that you would help us to learn these truths, be reminded of them, and, Lord, really put them into place in the days ahead in this really challenging world. And I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so we're going to just take a minute. We've been doing a series on heaven, and we're going to take a little vacation from that for today as we celebrate Mother's Day. And my mic is now on. Sorry about that, Laureen. And I want to just take a second, and you may have heard this phrase before, right? We're going to talk about Mother's Day, but just like milk and honey. Have you ever heard that before in the Bible? You might say, what does that mean? By the way, does anybody like milk and honey? Yeah, all right, cool, that's good, all right. It is not, sometimes they actually have I love Greek yogurt, and they have sometimes, well, you know, you'll see honey flavor, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm more the mango guy, right? But we're going to talk about what that means, and it has some real significance about God's blessing, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So we want to dig in real fast, and here's the deal. As we celebrate our mothers and all the blessings that have been to us, what was the most important thing that they taught us? Take just a quick second this morning and say, hey, what was the most important thing, if you think back, that your mom taught you? What was it? And by the way, if it was that good, we probably should do what? We should teach it to our children, right? If it was that good, we want to keep that going and keep that wisdom going forward. So we're going to try to answer that question. We're going to look at God's word to kind of find out what that is. And this eternal truth kind of gives us a little bit of a thought, as did many of the songs we sang today. But here's the eternal truth. Kind of digest this with me for a second. When families love God completely, life is blessed. When families love God completely, life is blessed. And by the way, we're all sort of on that spectrum, right, trying to get to that place. None of us are really there, right? Anybody there where life is like totally blessed, no problems, no issues? Okay, if you are, it's Mother's Day, you can go out to dinner early. The rest of us, we got to stay. You know, as Pastor Ansu says, you know, don't worry about your dinner appointment. You know, we're just going to look at God's word for a couple of hours. And he always says, amen, right? All right, we're going to try to move expediently this morning. Here's a couple questions I want to think about. What is the one thing that we ought to teach our kids? What is the greatest commandment in Scripture? And what does it mean when the Bible says a land flowing with milk and honey? We're going to try to answer those three questions today. So just keep them in your minds. We're going to move right forward. So here's the first commandment. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The greatest commandment, everybody write this down. This is important. By the way, this is what you want to teach your kids. This is what you want to know for yourselves. The greatest commandment is love God. Love God. By the way, I'm going to see how smart you guys are this morning or how awake you guys are this morning. What do you think the second great commandment is? Love your neighbor as yourselves. And we might say, love God, love people, right? That's the second one.
That's another message. Come back for another day for that one. That's another one. But here's what we want to think about. So God gives us this commandment. He talks about some of the consequences, and he also gives us the source of action. So he gives us the principle. He kind of delivers on the promises, and he tells us the process. That's what I want to dig into right now. And just kind of go back with me really quick. What's the greatest commandment? I want y'all to say it with me out loud. Love God. Love God. Love him, the Bible says, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. So we're going to dig into this commandment. So let's go with Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look what it says. And Moses read it so well. It says, now this is, and notice what's before that word commandment. It's an article, the. This is the commandment. So if you're reading Deuteronomy, kind of reading it close, God says, hey, you guys, this is the one. And he says, and these are the statutes and judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you might observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. And the words that are in large size or in bold, they're the ones I want to focus on for this point. The commander principle is, this is the commandment. And I go down to verse 4, and look what he says. And by the way, this is the challenging thing for us, because there's so much noise and distraction in our lives. Sometimes we just can't hear. We were calling out the names up on the stage, and the babies were talking. Some were crying. You were clapping. And it was kind of hard to hear everybody's name real good, right? And that's kind of how life goes. Like, our lives are like that. We're on this express train, but there's so much noise all around us, we really sometimes just can't hear God. By the way, as I see Mark's in the back, you know, our team of men, they did an amazing job. If you were here for breakfast, give them a hand, right? I see Mark just putting his head back on the wall. He has been working since like 6 o'clock this morning, and he worked yesterday too. Because first he had to get the chickens to lay the eggs, and then he made it all up. So he has been working really hard. But thank you guys for blessing us with that. But check out what he says, right? He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? We have one God, not many gods. We have one God. His name is Jehovah. And it says, you shall love the Lord your God. And read it with me out loud. What's it say? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, that sounds like that's a pretty magnetic kind of love that we have for God. It's pretty singular. It's pretty focused, isn't it? And that's the challenge, isn't it? Because not only do I love God, but I love food. I love my wife. I love soccer. I love the Eagles. And because of Pastor Ansu, I kind of like the Cowboys. Right? But our love tends to get divided, right? But if we want to teach our kids a principle, it's love God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. And by the way, are you guys Cowboys fans too? You got the blue on today? They're from Texas. No, they said no, we... All right, just checking. So we got to get that in our mind. That's the command, by the way. If you kind of doze off because you're tired, take that with you, right? The thing we got to get across to our kids is to love God. Not just obey God, not just serve God. And kind of in my generation, we were told, serve God, serve God, serve God, serve God. We forgot we can't serve God if we don't love God. Right? We got to love God first, right? And I'll throw this out. There's 10 commandments. The 10, right, are the kind of the foundation ethical commandments for all of life. There are 613 other commandments that are given in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. And what they were about, they kind of gave us a comprehensive framework about many of the decisions of life. You know, and that's a, what do you do when someone's animal falls into a pit on the Sabbath? That's not our problem, is it, right now, right? You know, but the purpose was to, what, honor the Sabbath, right? But it's okay to do good, as Jesus proved, right? But all those things are there. But here's the point. Everybody, look at it with me. One is the key. What's the key? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's the key. And we're going to skip on down very quickly this morning. And I just want to share with you guys... Everybody look up for a sec. A lot of times we go, oh, you know, that's the Old Testament, Pastor Gary. You know, we're not Jewish. We're not from the tribe, but you know, the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes. That's the Old Testament, man. Come on. And I just want to clarify for you guys, it's also New Testament because Jesus said it twice. At least, right? And here's what he said. He said, teacher, they came to him, the rabbis came to him and said, one of them was a lawyer. Anybody, any lawyers here? We love you, by the way, especially when you're redeemed. We love you, right? But here's what it says. It says, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandments. And by the way, it sounds slightly different, but I want you guys to get the idea. We are to love God with everything in our being. Everything, right? That's the idea. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you can understand, get that point in our minds, right? The Ten Commandments, the 613 commandments are about two things. Loving God and loving people. And by the way, they're both a struggle, aren't they? I want to love God, but he doesn't always do what I want. But you know why? Because he loves me so much, he's not going to give me what's going to hurt me. Does that make sense? He's not going to do that. And I have to trust him. Like, that love of God comes with faith and trust, right? And I want us to kind of just get that in our heart. So the first idea is, what's the commandment, folks? Say it real fast. Right? Yeah, the first one is what? Just to get real focused. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, strength, mind, right? Love him with all of our being, right? And then clearly love others as yourself like Jesus did. So we're going to slide down. Here's some consequences. If we teach that concept and we get it, we start to do it. Here's the consequences, right? It says that you may fear the Lord your God. And by the way, that's not necessarily a cowering fear. It's kind of like, as fathers, I want my kids to obey what I say because it's for their good. And my dad, you guys all know my dad. He's in heaven right now. But you know what? I was afraid of my dad. He was a mean man sometimes. Seriously, he was, right? He's this little guy, but like you didn't mess with him. But that fear of him kept me from a whole lot of destruction. And that's what we're talking about here. When I love God and I have, it causes me to respect him, to fear him, to do what he says, man, it keeps me from a whole lot of stuff, right? So he says, to fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life. And that, look at the next thing. So one, we're going to have this holy, reverent fear of God that's going to be good for us. And it says it's going to give us prolonged life. Now, I don't know about you, we've been talking about heaven and we're trying to get ready for heaven, but you said it, I'm not sure I want to go today, right? So God gives us, blesses with long life. It's a wonderful thing, a life that when we're well, we're able to enjoy God's blessing of life. That's a wonderful thing, right? And we got to keep on thinking about that. Here's the next thing. If we indeed love God that way, it says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe that it may be well with you. So not only do we get long life, a holy, reverent fear of God, it keeps us out of trouble, but guess what? It's going to be well with us. God's going to be with us. Life is going to work out God's way for us. And you know what? When we leave this place, guess where we're going? We are going to heaven, and then we're going to go to the new heaven and the new earth in a little while. And we are going to be okay. In fact, we're going to be more than okay. We're going to be great. Right? And that's what he's talking about in this concept. And then he says this. He says that you may multiply greatly. You know, children, right, are what? It says in Psalm 127, a heritage or a blessing from God. And when God gives us children, like he says, when you do this, guess what? God's going to bless you with family, with offspring, right? That's a good thing too, right? And then notice what he says next. He says, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's the title. What does that mean? And here's what that means, right? The idea is God promises obedience, long life, wellness, multiplication, and his hand of blessing on everything that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a pretty good deal. Right, that, by the way, that is the best deal that there is. Amen. And I want to encourage us. That's what God wants us to do. That's kind of the consequences. If I follow that first command, which is, tell me again, what's that first command? I forgot. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, strength, right? Get that. We got that. Get that in our minds, right? That's the key. That's what we want our kids to grab a hold of and not let go. And then here's the course. You might say, man, I don't know how to do that. And by the way, you know, there's a ton of books on parenting. And some of them say this and some of them don't. But raising kids is tough. Amen. By the way, new moms and dads, can I get an amen? Ready? And here's the bad part. How about, is there any older moms and dads here? A whole lot of us, right? What's the truth? It's tough at this stage, and it gets tougher later, right? Not to scare you, but God's able, right? That's the key, right? God's able. Gets tougher, right? And so here's the course, right? He says, and these words, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Look what he says. He's talking to parents. He says, in these words which I command you today, would you read it with me, shall be where? In your heart, right? So here's the thing. Your kids are not going to be godly unless it's in your heart. And I'll throw this out. In the day that we live in, we outsource everything. We can't outsource our parental godliness to someone else because it won't be in their heart if it's not in ours. That is the key, right? We can't do that. By the way, you can outsource at church. Here's our deal. We are not outsourcers. We're come alongsiders. So if you drive the car for the delivery, we're going to be right behind you. We're going to try to teach them principles here. We're going to love them here. We're going to point them to God here. But please start at home and deliver those goods there first. Right? That's the key. And by the way, is it hard? It is hard. And by the way, when you have a problem, cry out to God and cry out to your brothers and sisters in the family of God that they can pray with you, come alongside of you, give you time out once in a while, give you a break, and help you out in this process. That's the body of Christ, right? And look what he says. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You know what that means? It doesn't stop at age 5, 6, 7, it goes all the way on up. And here's the funny thing. How many people here have children over 18? One or two of us. Right? Like a lot of us, right? Here's the deal. We never stop praying, and we never stop teaching with our lives and with our words as they allow us to share them, right? We can't be the nagging, you know, parents, grandparents, but we can be the supportive ones that bring truth when truth can't be seen. That's the goal, right? And that's challenging for us too, by the way. Lord, I need you. Rosemary, good pick, right? We need God as parents. We need God as grandparents. We need God as great-grandparents. We need God as aunties. We need God if we're going to bring these kids up to know Jesus all the way, right? And look what he says, by the way, when should we teach our kids? He says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What's that sound like? It seems like all the time. It's called an inclusion. We got to just keep talking about God and keep sharing the good things and the direction that God gives us all the time, especially that first command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We got to keep saying it, right? We got to keep saying it. And by the way, we have to kind of act it out in our examples, too. It's an exemplary thing as well. And then he says this. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hands. They shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Hebrews, right, they actually put a box with scripture here, and sometimes they actually wore it. You guys may remember a story. Someone was wearing it in the airport a while back, and they got picked off because they thought they had a bomb on their head. By the way, they do. It's called the Word of God. It is explosive. And it can change lives, right? And that the point for these Hebrews was, Don't let go of the Word of God and keep talking about it all the time to your kids and your grands and everyone else. Your nieces, your nephews, etc., right? And I just throw this out real quick. How's that happen? It must be in our parents' hearts who teach them, talk, and present God's Word everywhere around the clock to their children in every situation. So when life doesn't go well, teaching opportunity. When life goes great, teaching opportunity. By the way, she's saying amen. Preach it, Pastor Gary. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's the course, right? I'm going to take us to the last thing here real quick. And here's the question. You know, we understand what we got to do, right? What's the word? We got to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, strength, right? We got to teach our kids that all the time in every situation. But here's the caution. Here's the problem that we face in life, especially in the Western world. Okay? Here's the problem. The greatest caution. Don't forget God. And you know when we forget God? When everything's going well. When we're in our affluence, when everything is just going our way, you know, we have a great job, we have a big house, we have all the items that we want, all the desires, we get to go on vacation, we get to do all that stuff. Don't forget God, because without Him, you'd have nothing. Right? That's the point, right? And four things I want you to grab a hold of there. One, don't forget God in the blessings. Don't chase other gods. Don't tempt God, but do testify regularly to your family all the things that God has done. Right? That's how we got to go. That's the caution, right? So, oh, by the way, let me just go backward one slide. Do you guys see that sign? On the right, it says, caution, steep and crumbling cliffs, keep well clear of the edge. Have you ever seen a caution sign? Have you ever done anything after you read that sign? I remember somebody I knew, they actually were in a car accident right after they saw the sign that said, slippery when wet. Right? Caution signs are there to what? Get our attention. So this caution is here in the Word of God to get our attention. When things are going great, watch out. Don't forget God. Right? And I just want to kind of say that. So here are a couple of things. Here's once you get a hold of this, right? Look what it says. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Did you get that picture? Guess what he's saying? In that time of prosperity, remember, where did it come from? And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or change, is the idea. Everything we got comes from God, right? Don't forget him. Please don't forget him, right? And look what he says here. He says, then beware. There's that caution sign. Everybody see that in Scripture, right? When it says beware, it means look up. The Old Testament prophets, they stood on the wall and they said, watch out, the enemy's coming. God in his word is saying, watch out, the enemy's not only coming, he's already here. Right? He's here. So watch out, you got everything you want, don't forget where it came from. And don't let your kids think that God is money, pride, you know, achievement. Don't let them think that. Let them know who God really is, right? That's the key thing, right? Don't forget God in your prosperity, abundance, and success. He gave you everything. And we're going to move right on down, and we got to make some time here. Don't chase other gods. And he says this right here. He says, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Everybody look up for a sec. Think about, is there anybody in your life you don't want to be angry? You can shout it out. Anyone in your life you don't want angry? Angry. Is there anybody in your life you don't want angry? Mom, yeah, don't get mom angry. Mama bears are rough, right? Don't make them angry, right? Yeah, amen, brother. He said, I don't want my wife to be angry. Amen, I'm with you, right? And she's looking at me right now. She's giving me that look, right? So I don't want that. You don't want that. Nobody wants that, right? But let me say this. The last person I want angry is God. My wife, she usually gets over it. How about yours? She gets over it, you know, normally, right? You know, get over it. But don't make God angry, right? Don't make God angry because he can just take us right out of here. And I just want to summarize this point real quick, right, which is this. Don't chase other gods. I want you to think about these other gods for a second. Money. You would think that Andrew Jackson is God. You know, George Washington. We don't have Abraham Lincoln anymore. We did away with pennies, right? But they're not God. They're not God, right? Money, power. I could do whatever I want, tell people what to do. It's not God, right? Not God. Love. People chase love. Chase the love of God, and he will give you everything else you ask for, right? Right? Education, you know, we just want to achieve and achieve and achieve and achieve and get one more degree, one more letter after our name, one more, you know, jacket that we wear to graduation. No, don't just chase that, right? Success and fame. And the Bible says this. It says, flee idolatry. Run away as fast as you can, right? And it also says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that stuff will be added to you if God deems it's not going to hurt you, but it's going to build you up, right? And that's what he's talking about here, right? So these are principles, right, man? Everybody look up. Don't our kids need to know this stuff? And we need to show them the way we live our lives that it's true, right? That we confirm that's true, right? So here's another one. Don't tempt God. And I'm going to, for the sake of time, just kind of skip down to the explanation. Here's the idea about tempting God. Don't willfully test God's power. Like, here's the funny thing. The church sanctuary, don't go up on the roof and jump off. Because God did also give us gravity, and you're going to hit the ground quite fast. Right? So don't tempt God. By the way, you guys laughed at that illustration. That's what Satan tempted Jesus with in the gospel. He said, go up on the temple and get down. He says, the angels have been given charge over you that you won't dash your foot against a stone. Don't tempt God. And Jesus actually came back with that response to Satan. Don't do it. He said, don't test God's power, God's mercy, God's love by acting defiantly and faithlessly and putting yourself in danger expecting divine intervention. And that important thing, right? Like, don't act a fool and think that God's always going to bail you out. Because God has set aside some principles in the universe that way it normally runs. God might miraculously save you, but don't tempt him. Don't try him. Don't do that, right? And think about Israel in the wilderness, how God intervened there, right? Instead, just trust God and do what he says. Obey him. That's kind of the point, right? So I want to skip right on down. Here's the do part. That was the don'ts. Like, we always focus on the don'ts, right? But here's the do. And this is the key thing, right? Do this. He says, and I love this in Deuteronomy 6. Look at this in a question he says. He says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? And I want to throw this out. I bet a lot of us had this question. Dad, how come we always got to go to church on Sunday? Dad, you know, how come you don't just beat up that guy? You know, they ask those kind of questions, don't they? Kids, by the way, they watch us real good, don't they? And this is the point, right? Tell them why. And tell them why, and tell them why, and tell them why again. He says in his paper, he says, then you shall say to your son, look what God did. Like, we used to have a guy here at church. He'd say, look at God. Look at God. Look what God did. He said, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt. By the way, who brought us out? The Lord, right? And he says, with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his house. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded to observe all these statutes, which, by the way, are another word for laws or commands, right? To fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And I just want to say this. I put it at the bottom of the asterisk. Never stop telling them what God has done. Never stop telling them. They may say, oh, stop. Never stop telling them what God has done. Use yourselves as an example, right? That's what kind of ratifies that it's true, right? Never stop telling them what God has done. Boom. So this is a dangerous slide. Ready, look up. That's kind of a dangerous slide to show at 12:39 on Mother's Day, right? But here's the deal. You're probably going to go out today, or you're going to go somewhere for lunch, right? And you're not going to be able to eat it all. Maybe you're going to try. You might. But the carry away, the carry out, right? And I'm going to say it this way. What are we going to carry out of here? And here's what I want us to carry out, right? Let's make loving God our family M.O. Method of operation, right? Just want to clarify, right? Let's make loving God our family M.O. and teach it constantly by word and example. And guess what? All those young lives that we saw up here, they'll get it. They'll begin to get it slowly, step by step. They will. You'll be surprised, by the way. Usually as parents, we always see the bad. But then people come up to you later on and say, hey, you know what your kid did? You go, really? He never did that in my house. I didn't know he knew how to rake leaves, you know, or whatever it is, right? But keep telling them those things, amen? You know, and moms, you're the key. You're the glue that holds it all together, the button that keeps our shirt together. You know, you're it. But dads, man, we got to lead by our example. And that's not just dad, that's granddads, great-granddads, uncles. We got to lead by example in those areas, right? So we are going to close, and we're going to bring up our praise team just to take us out of here. But I want to say one thing while you guys are coming up. Come on up, praise team. One quick illustration. As they come up, right? Pastor Anson is going to help me out. You guys, check out this flower. By the way, this is for all our families that dedicate their child today. Anybody know, what's this flower? It's called a hydrangea. Okay? You probably have them. If you're in Willingboro, you probably got one, right? Okay? Check it out. These two flowers are the same species, hydrangeas, right? And here's the cool thing about this thing. If you water this thing and feed it just the way you're supposed to, it'll look like this. If you prune a hydrangea, there's different kinds. Some of the flowers grow out of dead wood, like looks like old, like hardwood. Some grow out of new wood. If you have a new wood one and you cut it off in the spring, guess what you get? Leaves, no flowers. And I say all that to say this. When you begin to understand your children and you know what makes them tick, and you give them the things that they need, like teaching them the love of God, they will flourish. And by the way, the colors of this plant, if the soil is acidic, I believe it turns blue. If the soil is basic, it turns pink. Isn't that kind of amazing? The same thing. And that's the way our kids are, right? You might say, well, your brother always did it when I told him to. How come you don't? Because they're different. And we got to give them the same things that are going to cause them to follow God. Amen? We're going to turn it over to our praise team to get us out of here. And we hope that you guys have it. We're going to close with a word of prayer at the end. I hope you have a great Mother's Day.
Let us all stand, please. Thank you.
we got our goal, right? Yep. By the way, what's the greatest commandment? You can't go unless you tell me.
Love the
Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, strength, and teach that to our kids, right?
Yep.
And God's going to do great things. And, you know, the most important thing for all of us is we are all sinners, and we all need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Because when you try to do that, all of a sudden our kids are going to realize, man, this is hard. It's because our makeup is not to do that. And that's where we need Jesus to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to give us a home in heaven that is secure above anything else we could ever imagine. We hope you guys had a great day today. We hope you have a better afternoon even, right, as you go out and spend time with family. And Pastor Anson is going to close us with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time of worship. And even as we leave this place, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you go with us. And that as your word have gone forth, oh God, may we go with your word in our hearts. Being able to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, because you urge us to do so. We thank you for all of our mothers again, and as we go to our respective homes to celebrate, we say you be glorified and be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.